Welcome to Behind the Numbers with CEO Mike McCann, a new series where our CEO addresses your most pressing investor questions following our earnings call. In this short 10-minute recap, we'll dive into quarterly results, market trends and outlook, ensuring you hear directly from our leadership about the momentum at Limbaugh. Whether you're an existing investor exploring new opportunities or part of our team, this is your go-to where clarity meets strategy, straight from our CEO to you. Mike, great to have you here again, and thanks for joining.
Thanks very much for having me.
Let's start with the big picture. How did Limbaugh perform in the first quarter?
Sure. So we're off to a good start this year. Just a couple key metrics to kind of share. We had record net income in Q1, $10.2 million, which is really exciting to see. Free cash flow was over 100%. And then from a mix shift perspective, we achieved a 67.9% owner direct revenue. Which is exciting to see. If you compare Q1 of 2024 to Q1 of 2025, revenue was up 11.9%. EBITDA was up 26.5%. So great work by the team. And, again, we're off to a good start.
For those who might not be familiar, can you explain the ODR model and why it's so central to your strategy?
Sure. The three things that I feel like that makes our model very differentiated is three key concepts. The first is an incredible focus on accounts. We really work on these strategic accounts with scale. We focus on them and we put teams behind them. The other thing is engineered solutions combined with field expertise. So we've always been a problem solver. And when we work for directly for the owner, it really allows us to make sure that we pass our solutions directly along with it. So we're always in front of the customer, a lot of quick turn work. Ability to solve problems real time with our customers. And we feel like that is and more, I would tell you that it feels like it's more of a unique strategy than even when we first started coming out with it.
And how does this strategy impact your customers and your employees?
Sure. So our strategy really works in these mission critical environments where they just can't afford downtime. And we have our six vertical markets that we work in. Healthcare, industrial manufacturing are probably a top focus there. We want to be able to provide quick service for them, quick proactive service. And we found that the best way to serve a customer is if we're in front of them and we have a team there every single day. So it takes time to build that relationship and to pick the right customers that really appreciate the value we're going to be driven with them. But if we're in front of them, we can not only fix issues quicker, but we can be proactive and work to the point where we're developing their capital plan. From a career perspective, a couple of things that have happened from our employees. One is familiarity with site is really important as well too. Think about it even from a safety perspective. They know they've helped develop the safety plan with the customer. The other thing is a lot of career opportunities. We've seen numerous people from a hourly staff take salary positions. And that's really, really exciting to see. So ultimately it feels like there's a partnership between the customer and our employees in a really embedded relationship that allows us to expand, not only from an employee perspective, but also from a customer perspective.
So you mentioned healthcare. What are some key trends you're seeing in your core markets?
So healthcare is seeing tremendous deferred maintenance. And sometimes, and I really would say this, especially coming out of 2020, 2021 period of time where a lot of hospitals have just been getting by. And I think we're finally getting to the point now with a lot of these facilities and these really critical care. And just as an example, in the hospital world, we work in these acute care hospitals. It's not necessarily the medical office building. It's where the main procedures are happening and where their patient care is super important. But that deferral leads to the point where they have to make upgrades. And we talked about this in our prepared remarks this week. But even there's a hospital in New England that we share data with them. Their repairs, asset history, it led to them finally making a replacement for a critical area in their ORs. And we analyzed utility bills, asset history, and did an engineered field assessment and provided the data in front of them with a compelling return on investment, and they made the upgrade. So a lot of success stories like that with customers, especially in the healthcare market.
So that ties into something I read about your goal to influence customer budgets. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. We want to transition from reactive to proactive. So our investment the last few years has really been on OPEX budgets, quick repair type work. And I talk a lot about on-site account managers And their job is to really get embedded into the facility. Our goal has always been, once we embed and take this long-term investment, no different than we're doing this year that we've done last year, how do we get to the point where we start influencing budgets? We want to use the data that we collect to provide a compelling story of how you should take an expense in your SG&A line item and potentially build a capital plan or even an OPEX plan over 4 to 5 years. So it takes a lot of trust with customers. We have to be in front of them. They need to like and feel like their team's embedded. And we also need to provide them data about, hey, maybe you spent $1 million on quick hitting repair work, but there's a different way to spend that money in the future. So how can we stretch that budget further and how can we get more for the same dollar? So that's one thing that's really important this year. I'd love to be in a position going to 2026 where they're influencing and at least co-authoring budgets for as many of our strategic accounts as possible.
You've also invested in rental equipment. What role does that play in your growth?
Sure. So the last couple of years, we've invested in rental equipment and a few different reasons for that. So from a customer perspective, in the past, we would be servicing a piece of equipment. A lot of times it'll run to failure. It goes down. We have to go to an outside party or the owner has to go to an outside party to rent equipment. A lot of times it'd be cooling equipment. And then there'd be a capital project after that. The fact that we now have that rental cooling equipment, we're able to stay in front of that customer the entire time. And by the way, Limbox out there, we're in a much better position to get that capital project from it as well too. The other thing from an internal perspective, from a margin perspective, is there's an opportunity to layer margin. We can now take advantage of the margin that we that the other supplier would have posted on that. So not only do we get, if it's embedded into a project, we get an overall project margin, but we also get a margin specifically on the rentals. So I feel like it's a win internally and a win from a customer perspective.
Let's move to the topic of mergers and acquisitions. Mike, what's the latest on that front?
Yeah, so very interesting right now. There's, I think the key theme here is we're definitely in a position to be more differentiated than we have in the past. And I talked about this a little bit earlier this week, but there's tons of private equity. And private equity moves very quickly, quicker than we're going to move. And a lot of times those transactions go through 2-3 steps. There's several different buyers over a course of period of time. So companies that we're talking to are getting lots of phone calls, sometimes 8-10 phone calls, pressure to sell their business. And I think that saturation has helped provide differentiation for us because we come in differently. We are going to be patient. We care deeply about their people. We want to understand what makes them tick. We're going to be a long-term holder for them. The deals are simpler. And just we provide a real alternative option for them. So the pipeline is really strong right now. We're always trying to find the right deal. But I think we've seen more and more owners, the first meeting they meet with us, they know it's culturally different than it is maybe from another buyer. So we're looking forward, and I think we're strategically positioned to take advantage of that.
Are there any external risks or challenges that you're watching closely?
Yeah, so a couple of things obviously in the news, the tariffs perspective. Tariffs have been relatively neutral for us. Some customers have moved some stuff up. You know, some have kind of on the wait and see, but at the end of the day, it's been neutral for us. And I think the advantage that we have is the quick hitting nature in a mission critical environment. If we had long-term projects, maybe in our previous model, it'd be more difficult. But I think this is where the strategies you start to really see pay off. For us, you know, it's much more from an internal perspective. It's less from a macroeconomic perspective. Every year we have new salespeople. This year we have about 40 new salespeople, which is about a third of our staff. So getting them up and running is really the key focus. And we've made a tremendous investment in sales the last 3 years. And I think you can see that from the SG&A increase that's happened. A lot of times that is sales. So first year is always the toughest. We're working, setting, and making sure our people are set up to be successful. But we really anticipate that investment paying off in the next 2 or 3 years. And it's just, I think it's a testament to us building our long-term strategy, which is differentiated from other E&C companies and really runs completely different from the trends of a macroeconomic cycle or items.
Before we wrap up, Mike, what should listeners take away from this update?
I think a couple things. One is our model's different than a lot of the other E&C companies. So some of the questions that you mentioned before, we went through before, we're on our own path. We've been on our own path, and every day it feels like we're more on our own path, but our ability to really be in front of customers and build long-term relationships and really embed ourselves, we feel like it's a differentiator. Our ability to be patient and disciplined to core vertical markets, we're not just chasing a trend that pops up. We're sticking to our six vertical markets. We feel like we're diversified across them. And everything we're doing is long-term. If you look at the amount of white space from an acquisition perspective that we have, if you look at the service offerings, if you look at the investment in sales, we're making the long-term moves that it pays off in the future.
Well, Mike, thanks for joining us, and thanks again for your insights today.
Thank you very much.
That will do it for this episode, and be sure to join us next quarter for Behind the Numbers.